For tonight, we want to talk on the subject of choosing excellence. And this comes from a verse in Philippians. Philippians 1:9-11, this is a verse good one to meditate on. It was actually in the Uphold course, is one of the first ones they have there. It says, this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may prove things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, and the glory and praise of God. And so, with this verse, we see that there's different things in it that can be a real help to us, especially when we're thinking in terms of overcoming things, walking in victory. And so we think of what it talked about there, that we definitely want the end results that it's speaking of, to be sincere, to be without offense, and to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. The word sincere is actually really interesting, because literally what the word means, like, cause I think it comes from Latin if I'm not mistaken, but it means without wax. And the reason why that word means that is because in times past, they would make pots out of clay, and they would fire them, of course, in the kiln, and of course these pots are expected to be able to hold water, and what would happen is they would fire them and then they would glaze them. And if you had someone that was kind of not honest, they would pull their pots out and they see, oh, this one has an imperfection, has a little crack, and they'd be like, oh, well, I don't want to have to just throw this away because I went to all the process of making this. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get some wax and I'm going to fill that hole, and then I'm going to glaze it, and so it'll look like everything's fine. But then the first time someone goes and puts hot liquid in that pot, the wax is going to melt and it's going to leak. And so it's kind of the idea with being sincere is that you're the real thing. It isn't like you're trying to present like you don't, that you have it all together, but then suddenly people, when they examine you, they find out, no, you're really not the real deal. We want to be the real deal in life. So that's what God desires for us to be. That's what we want to be, is that when people see us, it's not this facade, this fake kind of image that we've put up front that really doesn't jive with who we are on the inside. As well, we want to be without offense. We don't want to be hurting other people in our life. We want to be a blessing to them. And as well, we want to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. And when we think of those things of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that those are what we want to be filled with. We don't want to just have a little bit of them. We want to have a whole lot of them in our life. And so that is what the desire is that God has for us and what we would agree with. And so for us to obtain these end results, it's necessary that we learn to approve things that are excellent. And so that's what we're going to look at this evening. And so, to define excellent or excellence, it's like this. When something is excellent, it means it is of great value, virtue, and worth. That it is, in terms of what it is and what it possesses, when something's excellent, it's right at the top. And it's something that you would really want to hold on to. And so we want to think of it this way too, that when various options are available, then the very best option would be considered the most excellent. And so that's the thing, is what we want to see, what is, when we're proving things that are excellent, it's not just, okay, this is all right. It's like, okay, what is actually excellent? What is the best option out there? And so it's the thing, is when we seek to make progress in life, there are many choices that we're required to make in life. And every day we have to make choices. What am I going to do in this situation? How am I going to respond? What path am I going to take in this? And of course, we suffer when we make poor choices. And we do that a lot, where we realize, okay, yeah, I did this. I really didn't think about this. And this has really gotten me a lot of trouble. And we suffer from those consequences. And so especially when it comes to our addiction, we grabbed onto it, and it kind of seemed a good idea at the time. And sometimes it was just sort of, we were dealing with something, we were struggling, we were looking for something that was going to help us, and the devil just kind of said, oh, here, this will help you, and we grabbed it, and it was a disaster, right? And it's like it says, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so often that's what happens. What we think is going to be helpful is actually harmful. And so we realized that when we first started down the path of addiction, that was a poor choice and it's had dreadful consequences. And so we realized, if I'm going to ever emerge from that, I need to start making better decisions. I need to, when I'm in that place of temptation, I need to stop doing what I was doing. Kind of like we talked about last week, the idea of breaking the cycle. We don't want to just keep doing the same thing over again. We have to do something different. And so sometimes when we are trying to act, we can assume that our choices are limited. And that's kind of the thing. Sometimes it's something that they talk about a lot is in terms of a logical fallacy is like a false dilemma where it's assumed you only have two choices. And a lot of times you have way more choices than that. Like one example would be, it's like, okay, either I struggle with this and I'm miserable, or I give into my addiction to help me not think of this miserable thing. And yes, I'm free of it for a minute, but then I'm back to being miserable again because now I'm upset because I gave in again. And so sometimes we think that's the cycle. I'm going to be miserable either way. I might as well have a little bit of enjoyment to kind of break the monotony of misery. But of course, that's not good. But we want to see, okay, those aren't just our two options, right? There's more to life that we can look at for and what we desire to have. And the thing is many times in making our choices, we approve of mediocrity. That it's kind of the thing. It's just like a lot of times our choice is, well, what is the most easy to access, not what's best for me. Maybe not what can I get away with, right? Maybe I do this, well, this is more socially acceptable than what I was doing before, so this should be fine. And we get content, well, this is good enough. And we got to be careful with that. And what we really want to understand is we need to learn to make choices, not simply in terms of good or evil, because that's a lot of times, well, this isn't bad, really, so it's okay, or this isn't as bad as what I was doing before, so it must be fine. And really what's that doing? It's where we're really kind of selling ourselves short and saying, well, I'm just going to go along with the bare minimum of what I have to. And so it isn't just in terms of making decisions in terms of good and evil, but in terms of better and best. It's like, okay, I have several options. What is the best option? And evaluate that. And so it's the idea with this. If you were trying to build something, especially, say if you wanted to do a major renovation, update your house, you hired a contractor, and you found out that they were using like junk lumber and like the lowest, poorest quality flooring and everything else, and you're paying them good money and what they're putting in is junk, you'd say, hey, this is not acceptable. I want quality built into this. I'm going to be living in this house. I don't want to have this stuff that's just going to wear out and fall apart on me. I want something that's going to last. And it's kind of the thing is, we live in our lives, and why would we build our lives with shoddy material, right? And that's the thing, is we accept mediocrity a lot of times in the choices that we make, but we realize, well, wait a minute, I have to live with this mediocrity. Why wouldn't I rather choose something that's excellent? I want to find really the best materials available when I'm rebuilding my life, because I have been building, especially when we're struggling with addictions and other bad habits, we were building our lives with bad materials, and that led to basically a house that pretty much collapsed, right? And so we're saying, okay, I'm not just going to go to the next step up and try to nickel and dime my life. I want to make sure that I have what's best to how to build my life. And so we want to get into that mindset of approving what is excellent. And it's especially, it's kind of the thing when we're building our life, that so much of what God wants to give us that is excellent, it's not like we have to shell out the mega bucks for it like we would for the high quality flooring or wall covering or whatever, right? That a lot of times what he wants to give us is the best, but it's not something that we have to think, oh, this is going to cost me too much. Well, actually, it's going to be worth it in the end. And that's kind of what we find when we're building. Sometimes we pay the extra money, but then over time, we're glad we did, because it saved us time. That it's like you put in something and that's cheap, sometimes you have to replace it two or three times. In the time, if you put some more expensive, it would have lasted that much longer. And so we really want to think of that in terms of what we build our lives with. So these next things, what I'm going to do is kind of give some different examples. And these are pretty general, but it's just maybe to kind of help you kind of think of, in your decisions you're making, okay, how can I choose what is excellent? So, first off, example proving what is excellent, the fighting the fleshly temptation. And so this kind of gets into some of the 10 principles, specifically the one we looked at tonight. So we always have different things that our body and our flesh wants us to give into that we know aren't right. And so the bad response we have when a temptation comes is where we indulge in the negative behavior, and we realize that we can't fight a fleshly appetite by indulging in it. That's only going to make it worse. But that's something that we did for a long time. But of course, a better response to indulging in it is fighting the fleshly temptation with fleshly weapons. And it's better, but it's not necessarily that much better, and it won't prove to be as successful. And so we want to think, okay, well, this is better, but what is the best response? And so that's the idea of fighting the flesh and temptation with spiritual weapons, where we're trying to use principles God gives us to help us find victory. And so we're learning that. It's just, okay, I can try these other tactics and means, but what does God have that he wants to give me so I can find victory? So a second example. We're responding to being wounded, where someone has hurt us. And we kind of talked about this last week too. A lot of times we are wounded, and how we respond really affects whether we're continuing on in that cycle of addiction. And so a bad response we have to being wounded is where we externalize our anger, where we lose it, we're filled with rage, become physically violent, we become verbally abusive, and we pour out that wrath on whoever caused that to us, right? And usually what happens, we end up losing our job, we end up wrecking relationships, sometimes we even get arrested. And so we realize, okay, that's a bad response. That's not what I want to do. And so we think, well, this is a better response, this next thing, but it's really not that much better. It's not healthy for us. And that's internalizing our anger, where Because we come time to think, okay, well, I don't want to lose my job, or maybe this person is bigger than me, and if we got in a fight, he'd win, and so I'm just going to step back. But we're really upset with how that person hurt us, and we just kind of internalize it, we dwell upon that, and we get poisoned by bitterness on the inside, right? And it's a different response than the other, and sometimes we think, oh, well, I'm in control, I didn't actually hit the person, I'm doing good, and that is good that you didn't. But if we succumb to bitterness, we're in a very unhealthy place as well. And so the best response, and this is the response God is trying to help us to learn, is long-suffering and forgiveness, where we're not quick-tempered, we're not reacting, we're patient with the shortcomings of others. And when someone has wronged us, that we're able to let it go, we're able to forgive them. And it's not, we don't have to wait for them to say they're sorry, that we're not forgiving them for their sake even necessarily. A lot of times we're forgiving them for our sake, so that we're not being imprisoned by that bitterness. And so it's learning that, and it's something that doesn't come naturally, and that's what I know the one book by Pastor Kingsbury is about, where he says forgiveness, it's not natural, it's supernatural. And so learning that, God wants to teach us how to forgive, and that's, he's demonstrated how he forgives us. And so as I have forgiven you, so you learn to forgive others the same way. And so that's how he wants to do it, and that's really when we learn to forgive, that helps us to, where that wound is, we're healed from that, and we don't get into that cycle we talked about last week. So here's another example. Of course, this is kind of general, but dealing with problems that we're facing in life. That bad response that we can often have is we ignore our problem or we run from our problem. Okay? We try to act like it's not there. Or we just, like, and that sometimes it can be, say if you're a person can have it where you're struggling with your job situation, kind of the interpersonal relationships in that. I'm just going to quit and I'm going to go to a different place. But then same kind of interpersonal things come up. Well, I'm just going to quit and go to a different place, right? Instead of thinking, well, maybe it's me, not the situation I'm in. I'm not responding to it properly. Sometimes it can be in a relationship where a person thinks, okay, this is difficult. I'm going to just step out of this. But then that becomes what happens, and they never are able to get through the rough stuff and build a lasting relationship, because it's always, oh, okay, trouble, need to run. And so we need to learn not to do that. But then, it's a better response, but not that much better, is we deal with our problems. It's good to have the courage to say, okay, I'm not running anymore. I'm going to face the music. I'm going to deal with this. But when we're trying to deal with it in our own strength and our own wisdom, we don't know what to do, and we're going to get to the point where we're just exasperated and wiped out, and just, okay. And then sometimes what that could do is that can bring us back to our addiction again, because we're at our wit's end, and we just, the drug, even though we're not running away physically, the drug or whatever it can be is a way of running away from our problem as well. And so the best response is dealing with the problem with God's strength and wisdom, because we know he has strength and we don't. He has way more wisdom than we do. And so you can kind of compare it in this way. Say if you're driving down the road and all of a sudden your vehicle starts to make a weird noise under the hood. And you're like, what is that? That sort of, for some people it's just like, I don't know what it is. Crank up the radio so I don't hear the noise. And that'll deal with it. It's like, no, that doesn't deal with it, right? You're just kind of masking it. But that's, with a lot of problems, that's what we do, is we just turn up the radio. We want to just kind of drown out the problem with all this other noise. But we would think, okay, well, I'm going to fix this. And say if you're not a mechanic, like, you could try to open the hood and you think there's something that's kind of fallen off or whatever, and you could maybe decide, well, I'm going to MacGyver this with, or do a red-green kind of fix with duct tape and whatever other crazy things that I can put together to make this work. And it's like, okay, that could work, or you can say, okay, I need to get this to a shop, to a mechanic I can trust, and have them diagnose it, and they'll probably have the parts, and they can fix it faster and better than my kind of MacGyver fix is ever going to do. And so that's really what happened with a lot of our problems, is we try either turning up the radio or doing kind of a duct tape fix, instead of just saying, okay, I need to go to the mechanic. Something in my life is broken. I need to take it to the guy that put my life together that can fix it and get it working and running the way it should. So here's another one. Managing stress and anxiety. That we're dealing with things that are overwhelming to us. We're fearful, we're panicking, we're worrying. Our stress level is up, our heartbeat is up, and we need to find a way to get back to peace, to calm down. And so our bad response might be using alcohol or drugs. We take it, and it's kind of a downer, just like, oh, and we feel calm again. And we think, okay, well, this has solved the problem, but of course, as it wears off, feelings come back. I got to take it again, and of course I got to take a little bit more each time to get me back to the same place, right? And it's, we can get ourselves in a lot of danger there, depending on what we use and overuse. A better response, we could think, okay, what are ways that I can deal with stress and anxiety? Exercising can be a good way of getting enough sleep. That's valuable. But of course there's sometimes where it's like, oh yeah, it'd be great to get enough sleep, but I'm worrying about this so much that I can't fall asleep. So how am I going to deal with that problem, right? And so what do we do, right? And so the best response is prayer and biblical meditation. That with prayer, it's like we have this concern, we're full of care and worry about this. And in prayer, we say, okay, Lord, I don't know what to do. I give this problem to you. I'm going to let you deal with it because I can't. And as we do that, he gives us this peace. It's okay. I've got it now. And as well, biblical meditation, the idea that when we're stuck on these thoughts of fear and other things, that a lot of times there can be verses that we can be dwelling upon that we can bring up in that moment to really help us. I know a verse that always is a help to me. It's where it's Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. And so when I'm in a difficult situation, I feel kind of that heartbeat kind of rising. That's a lot of times what I'll say that to myself. It'll just kind of help me get back to a calm place. And so we learn. And then one last one, the way we spend our time. And we can spend it in many different ways, and that's kind of through the day. What am I going to do with my time, especially if I have like a day off or something? And we find that sometimes it's like, oh, I've got my day off, I can do so much, and then we get to the end of the day, it's like, where did the day go? And what happened, right? And so we want to think of it. Bad response in terms of spending our time is where we do what we know is negative and counterproductive. Where there's things that we shouldn't be doing that we just say, well, I just want to have some fun, and we're not helping ourselves, right? We're hurting other people. A better response, of course, is we're kind of killing time doing what's unproductive. It's not necessarily something bad. Like say for instance, like I kind of enjoy playing Sudoku, right? But it's like if you spend like, you're like a couple hours doing Sudoku and then you're like, where did the time go? It's already lunchtime. It's like, what in the world? And it's like we want to realize, okay, this, yeah, it's not necessarily bad or evil playing Sudoku, but it's like there's better ways I could have spent my time, right? And so the best response is we kind of think we want to not, we don't want to just kill time. We want to redeem the time, as it talks about in the Bible, and we want to do what counts for eternity. And say, okay, what can I actually do that's going to make a real difference? And sometimes it's like thinking, okay, what can I do that can make a difference in my spouse's life, in my child's life, in my neighbor's life, that's going to count for eternity? And so thinking of those things. And sometimes it can be just where we take those little moments of seemingly spare time, and we really make it into something that is important. And say for a child, it can be, it might only be a few minutes, but it can be a very precious memory to them. And we say, I'm going to invest this time in them and push everything else out of the way. So these are just different examples, and I think there's a lot of other applications we can make in terms, say, of choosing, okay, who am I going to spend my time with? When I'm seeking recovery, it can be in terms of like with jobs that we're doing and other things and how we respond to difficult people. There's a lot that we can have too. You could think of it, we can have the reactive response would be bad, but we could have kind of the passive-aggressive response where we just kind of we kind of step back and hope that bad things happen to that person, or we can actually engage that person assertively but in a calm and respectful manner so that you can actually get through the difficulty. So anyways, I just wanted to try to give this to you just as a mindset and some practical examples. Okay, this is how this could be applied. And so just some other different thoughts in learning to choose excellence. Different questions we can ask ourselves. First off, in dealing with this situation, have I considered all options available? Because a lot of times we can be convinced that we have limited options, and sometimes there's many more that we could try. And especially, say, if we're struggling with something, we think, well, I have to deal with this all myself. And a lot of times realizing, no, I could call someone. Who could I call? And then with that decision, okay, who would be a bad person to call? Who would be a better person to call? Who would be the best person to call? And trying to think of that. But then as well, what are the positive and negative consequences of each available option? And where we actually take time to think of it, because sometimes there are positives to, apparent positives to things that are actually bad ideas. That it's like, well, in the moment, this is going to feel really good, but then right afterwards, it's going to feel really awful, and I'm going to regret this for a long time to come, right? And so we kind of start thinking about that, and we lay that out. It's like this other thing, okay, this is kind of uncomfortable for me to start with, but the end results are going to be a lot better. And so this is the path I want to take. And then asking, is this the response, the best response I can make? Because sometimes if we think about that, wait a minute, maybe there's something else I can do that would be a better way to resolve this. And then as well, am I responding in the flesh or in the spirit? And that's really with a lot of what we've gone through. When we have different reactions, that it's kind of our reaction really tells us where we are in our relationship with the Lord. And if we're reacting the wrong way, we say, wait a minute, I need to get closer to the Lord so I'm dealing with this the right way. And so those are things to ask ourselves as we pursue after excellence. So just want to share with you this one thing. This is actually, it's still on a plaque in Mom and Dad's kitchen. And it's this statement, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. And it's not a Bible verse, but it's certainly something that we recognize the truth of that. And it's saying, God wants what's best for us. He doesn't want us to settle for second best. He wants to prove things that are excellent. And so it's kind of the thing is, we have what we want to do a lot of times, but then God may have something better for us, and something different, and we always want to realize if God's will is different from my will, I'm not going to be in a worse place by submitting to God's will. I'm going to be in a better place than if we do what I want. And so as we yield to Him, and it is a walk of faith, we say, Lord, what do You want me to do? And I trust that what You want me to do is the best thing. Then we're going to prove those things are excellent. And that's going to lead us to a life that's honorable and a life, excuse me, that's fruitful. So any thoughts as we conclude? No, I hope it's a help. It's just learning kind of processes of making choices of just thinking in those terms.